the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly seat us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The left is saying stare decisis, stare decisis, stare decisis when it comes to abortion. And that reason is that the language of Roe cannot be sustained by the Constitution of the United States.
If we would just take a pen and underline every time he mentions the Father, Jesus makes it crystal clear that we don't have a vote in this matter.
The reason to be a Lutheran, marry a Lutheran, stay a Lutheran, is so that I am always receiving this grace in a church that's preaching it in Christ crucified for me.
Pastors, thankful for the last 10 years of issues, etc., give thanks to God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
It is an organization that claims to advocate for women, to protect women, to defend the rights of women, to care for women, literally to care for women, to provide health care for them that they get no place else. But Planned Parenthood, if you scratch the surface of that kind of PR campaign they are now so famous for, turns out to be a rather dangerous place for women, especially for minor women. We usually call them girls, young women at best. Planned Parenthood has a terrible track record in facility after facility of failing to report things that are illegal, not only illegal, but harmful, dangerous, and perhaps even deadly to women and minor women, those girls. Things like rape and incest, sexual abuse, and sexual trafficking. And yet they continue to provide their primary service, although they claim it's only 3% of their business, their primary service, aborting the unwanted children of those women or those young women or those girls. They tell us that when women walk in, they are walking in of their own free will. It's their choice. They're exercising their right. Why is it that so many of the women who walk in there for abortions, even the young girls, are going there pressured by a father or a boyfriend or perhaps even a pimp? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, July the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Planned Parenthood, the Me Too movement, and sexual abuse. Petrina Mosley will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, Russ Douthat of the New York Times joins us. He's written a book recently called To Change the Church, Pope Francis and the Future of Catholicism. That'll be our subject with him. In hour two of Issues Etc., Hadley Arkus, Professor Emeritus of Jurisprudence and American Institutions at Amherst College, will join us to talk about abortion and the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He says there is a way, if the Republicans on the Senate committee and the Senate hearings, if they have the courage to do it, there is a way to take the issue of abortion off the table, more or less. It has to do with that Born Alive Infants Protection Act. We'll talk about that with him. And then Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be with us in the last half hour of the program to talk about secularization and economic prosperity. There are some who are claiming that if you look at the most secularized countries, especially in Europe, well, they are also the most economically prosperous. They claim a connection between the two. Is that true? We'll answer that question in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about Planned Parenthood, the Me Too movement, and sexual abuse, Petrina Mosley, Director of Life, Culture, and Women's Advocacy at the Family Research Council. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why It's Impossible to Support Both Me Too and Planned Parenthood Without Being a Big Hypocrite. Petrina, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here with you.
Why is it that Planned Parenthood and its various branches repeatedly fails to report cases of rape and sexual abuse?
Well, Todd, this is because Planned Parenthood is a business. This isn't about women's health care. They are about care no matter what, literally, aiding traffickers and child abusers. With each abortion, they make hundreds of dollars, and why let rape or incest or trafficking or prostitution get in the way of that? Plus, there's been video footage of an interview with a former Planned Parenthood director who said that they are trained in Title X reporting laws and requirements, but amongst each other, they say, well, what's the point when we know these girls are going to just be in the arms of some other man? So therefore, let's just give them the abortion, let's give them the contraception, and let them be on their way. So they feel like they cannot put these children's welfare above the abortion ideology.
You mentioned Title X. What is it, and what does it require of facilities like Planned Parenthood?
Well, Title X is a family planning grant program out of the federal government run out of the Human Health Services. It is primarily for low-income families who aren't able to get family planning methods and medical resources. Planned Parenthood is the largest recipient of these government grants to help in these communities. They receive nearly $60 million a year. And part of the requirements is abiding by state laws, state and federal laws, which include mandatory reporting laws, such as reporting rape, reporting sexual abuse, reporting incest, reporting prostitution if it is not legal in the state. And there's a certain criteria of reporters who are mandated to report these things, and Planned Parenthood falls in that category.
So tell us some of the things that have been discovered about situations that Planned Parenthood, the various branches, know about but have failed to report. You had mentioned sexual trafficking, rape, incest, sexual abuse.
Well, yeah, there was a girl as young as 13 who was abused by her father, who brought her in for multiple abortions. By the third time that she came in and had another abortion, that's when they decided to report. But she had to get re-victimized by her father two times before they did anything. She got pregnant twice in 1 year. So that's just one story. There's many stories that were covered in the live-action investigative footage report that recently came out this year. It also included some investigations that were done in 2008 and in 2011, so that it shows a repeated habit of Planned Parenthood putting their business ahead of women's care and women's safety and children's safety.
I think you also mentioned in your column that Planned Parenthood is one of the most visited facilities among sexual traffickers.
That is correct. There was a study done on sex trafficking victims at the Loyola University of Chicago, and they reported from these victims of sex trafficking themselves, okay, so this isn't anything that is just done from legal reports. These are straight out of the mouths of victims who have been trafficked. 29.6% of them said that they visited a Planned Parenthood. And one of them said that they did that because they know that Planned Parenthood doesn't ask questions. They know that this is a place, them and their traffickers know that Planned Parenthood is a place where they can skirt around the law, continue their abuse, no questions asked.
If this were a general practitioner or a pediatrician who is seeing these cases, such a doctor would be required to report these incidents, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, and possibly lose their license if they didn't.
Why are there no consequences for Planned Parenthood, or what consequences have there been for Planned Parenthood in their failure to report these cases?
Well, as of now, Planned Parenthood has been scandal-ridden with many things, and this is just a few of the scandals that are being brought to light when it comes to their aiding and abetting sex traffickers and child abusers. There's been many other things that they have yet to be prosecuted for and violating the law. And to be quite frank, it is because of money. The Planned Parenthood organization is a major contributor to a host of Democratic campaigns that involve a lot of important people with power. That those lists of names are just too many to name off in one sitting. And so this is a symbiotic relationship with powerful people in government and Planned Parenthood who says, if you scratch my back, I will scratch yours. And it involves cover-ups like these. It involves procrastination on taking action when there's issues of justice at hand. And this is why Planned Parenthood continues to be involved in these criminal activities, because they know they have friends in high places who won't hold them accountable.
In that vein, why do you think that the Me Too movement, with its celebrity star power and advocacy, has failed to note this connection between sexual abuse and Planned Parenthood?
Well, for many of them, they just don't know. And that's why we are writing about it. That's why places like Live Action are risking everything that they have to do these undercover investigative footages so that these issues are brought to the light. Now, for those who do know, and they have become aware of Planned Parenthood's scandalous and criminal activities, it's quite embarrassing to know that for years you've been supporting an organization that cares nothing for women, while at the same time you're trying to be their champion and their advocate. It's embarrassing, I would say, first and foremost. And I would say, secondly, once again, it goes back to power. This is a very powerful organization who has connections with very powerful people. And to speak out against Planned Parenthood means you're speaking out against a whole host of powerful people. So it's intimidating and it's embarrassing.
Talk about the undercover investigations that have exposed some of these misdeeds on the part of Planned Parenthood.
Well, there was a few in the state of Colorado, Arizona, West Virginia, Nevada, and these are just a few states that were covered in the live action report, where they had their workers pose either as an underage minor or as the trafficker or the pimp. And there were situations where the Planned Parenthood official would tell them how to skirt around the law, would tell them specifically how to fill out this form so that it doesn't indicate that you're bringing in a minor for an abortion for the third time. Knowing that this is possibly a trafficking situation, knowing this is a prostitution situation. Other times it would be noticing that the person in the room who's brought the young girl in is very controlling, dominating. The person has abusive scars on her body, and failing to note those suspicious signs. They're required to do that. Even if you think it's not true, you're required to report your suspicions. There were even other cases where girls would come in and they would say, my father impregnated me or a family member impregnated me, and this is the second time. And they go, well, we don't want to make any trouble for you and your family and for your father or for the boyfriend or what, or et cetera. So they would know that these situations are going on, but they see it upon themselves to not make trouble for the abusers, because that would make trouble for the female instead of getting her help and getting her out of these situations.
Several things are highlighted here, Petrina. One of them is that we don't often hear, and probably never hear, from Planned Parenthood itself that they are performing abortions on minors. What are your thoughts?
It's sickening and it's horrifying that such a traumatic experience is happening to a young woman at such a young age. This is not anything new when it comes to investigating Planned Parenthood, unfortunately. And many states have passed laws where if you are to get an abortion as a minor, you would have to notify your parents first. Planned Parenthood has fought those types of laws, those parental consent laws, every step of the way. Just about in every state where they are implemented, not every state has them, but a few do, a considerable amount do. And yet, Planned Parenthood, even if the law isn't there, they will do the abortion because they see it as a service. They see it as, we can't let this money go out the door. She's coming to us for a reason. Why not give her what she's asking for instead of informing the parents? This is just one example of how Planned Parenthood is usurping parental rights and their right to be informed about what's going on with their children. The children belong to the parents, not Planned Parenthood or the state.
Another thing highlighted here that we will not hear from the advocates of abortion is that many of these abortions, even when the woman seeking the abortion is not a minor, she's seeking it under pressure from a father or a boyfriend, or in many cases from a man in her life. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. And it goes back to, once again, whatever you need to do to get the abortion, you do it. A former Planned Parenthood worker also was interviewed in another report, and she testified to the fact that a Planned Parenthood, they have abortion quotas that they are meant to meet, and they give out awards for these abortion quotas, for meeting those abortion quotas. This is a blood business. This isn't care. It's in health care for the women. This is how many abortions can we perform, or quote-unquote services can we perform for women in this community. It's about the money, not about the women.
You write this: the Me Too movement is not only for the elite members of our society who've been victims of abuse, but should also be for the everyday young woman. What do you mean by that, Petrina?
By that, I meant to encourage especially celebrities and all those who are in the fight for championing women to tell their stories of abuse, that their time is up, to say this is not just for the elite few that we see in Hollywood, especially the ones that have come out lately as of this year. This is also for the anonymous young women whose name we will never know and whom we will probably never meet, who are still going through the doors of Planned Parenthood as a victim of sex trafficking or of prostitution or of rape, and no one is getting help for her. No one will see her face or her name on a book or on the cover of Vanity Fair. That girl, that woman remains nameless, but yet she deserves protection as well.
Petrina Mosley is director of Life Culture and Women's Advocacy at the Family Research Council. She is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "Why It's Impossible to Support Both Me Too and Planned Parenthood Without Being a Big Hypocrite." You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Petrina, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
When we come back from the break, Ross Douthat of the New York Times will join us. We're going to talk about Pope Francis and the future of the Roman Catholic Church. What is the Francis effect? Is this Pope media savvy, or is he media naive? We'll answer some of those questions after this.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Lutherans for Life is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutherans for Life. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.